Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
It's gonna be alright. No matter what they say, gonna be a good day. Just wait and see. It's gonna be alright. Cause I'm alright with me. It's gonna be.
Cruising through your day, the good day way. I'm Doug Steffen, along with Rich McFadden and Ken Kessler. And then the nominal female presence of the fantastic Jennifer Horn is here.
Thank you.
Imagine that. We have three men and only one woman. It takes three of us to keep up with Jennifer. Yeah.
Totally.
That's right.
Yeah, I was going to say she's got us outnumbered.
She does. Hi, I want to say hi to Norman Smith, who has nice things to say on Facebook about what's going on here. How do you do? Dana Popolo, Dennis Glancy, how do you do?
Norm.
As Facebook followers of fashion here. All right, so Richie, I'm coming to you for this one. Colombians, apparently whatever is going on in Colombia is not to the liking of some Colombians, so they have gone to Venezuela as illegals. Same as Mexicans are coming here, Colombians are going to Venezuela. Now, from what you've said about Venezuela,
I read about can't Venezuela. Imagine why anybody would go there.
That was the question. So when I see that a number of Colombians are leaving Venezuela because the Venezuelan government is going after illegal immigrants there, there are pictures of these Colombians, some of them wading knee-deep through a river, which separate the two countries. There are families who have abandoned their homes that have been put up on the shores of the river because the Venezuelans don't want them, and they're forcing them to go back across the river to Colombia. So I guess I would wonder what's going on in Colombia that is driving. Colombia used to be a horrible place because of all the drug stuff. Venezuela, under the previous dictatorship, even though he was a president, not a great place to be either. It's sort of like Mexicans fleeing to Panama or something. Why would you do that?
Panama is a...
Maybe not Panama, but El Salvador.
There you go. That's what. Yeah, Panama is actually a pretty nice place.
Yeah, right.
And Colombia is, too. I would say Panama and Colombia are not third world countries. They're kind of like
two world countries.
Yeah, it's second world country second type world. Thing.
Yes,
so I cannot imagine why Venezuela, people would go to Venezuela from Colombia, except that they are in a dangerous part of Colombia that is overrun by the paramilitaries, who basically live in the shadows, they live in the mountains, in the trees, in the forest, the dense forest now. They don't live in the cities like they used to. They used to run Medellin, and Bogota was a dangerous place, and it's not so much anymore. President Uribe, who was the president for two terms there for 8 years, he cleaned that country up and pushed everybody into the weeds. And now the new president, who is still a conservative, doesn't have the backbone that Uribe had. So the paramilitaries and the drug dealers are coming back.
Yep.
And they must be in these places where these people live, forcing them to basically flee anywhere they can, hence therefore Venezuela.
Right. All right. So that's a good explanation. Thank you. Now, let's see if we can understand what's going on in China. What really, really, really is going on in this circumstance? Because you see a lot of manipulating going on, and that was what people were complaining about. The Chinese government manipulated the value of their currency so that people would keep buying Chinese products, the middle-income people who have gained so much since the so-called economic revolution there, which brought in lots of new business, lots of new industry, new housing, people buying cars, all that sort of thing. So as things went up, as we continue to buy more of their stuff, we bolstered the amount of money that people are making, so they go spend it like good capitalists, not good communists. So now what? The economy has slowed down there because people are resisting paying for... Well, there's two things going on. People are resisting buying Chinese products more and more because they aren't that good, many of them. Some of them are really good. But the other thing that's going on is that people who have now accomplished something want more money. So the goods and services the Chinese offered are not as cheap as they used to be because people who have made money look at the rest of the world and say, well, these guys are getting $20 an hour over there for doing this. I'm getting two. Something's wrong with this picture. What are we doing to fix it? Right. So they've had to deal with that, and that's changed the whole economic base. So now they try to pull a rabbit out of the hat, trying to stabilize the marketplace because there's a discrepancy, and a large one, as to now people finding out that Chinese products, not that they're just finding out now, but there's a resistance because some of these things can be built better and easier in other places. Vietnam is becoming quite a commercial marketplace thanks to our involvement there. So are they the next China? Who knows? China was the next Japan. Japan, after doing what it did, after we bolstered Japan. This is a really interesting
story. I got news for you,
story. Too. Well, let me finish, and then you can give us the news. The theory about Japan and what happened after we basically destroyed the country. Or they destroyed it themselves by going to war, and then we put an end to it. So then we go over there, and we clean everything up, and they become challengers to our economic sort of situation by building things cheaper and better, and we buy them. And you know, they've now found out that it wasn't the smartest thing to do. It was good for the short run, but not for the long run. So along come the Vietnamese. Look, as I sit here today, the next big powerhouse in the Middle East will be Vietnam, and mostly because of what we did there, as we did in Japan. Even though we destroyed the country, a lot of people lost their lives for nothing. The country is coming back now and becoming quite an industrial and economic powerhouse. So anyway, in terms of the Chinese situation that we need to know about today, nobody really knows for sure what's going on. China does not enjoy transparency, so you can't really figure out what's going on. The financial crisis we found ourselves in after 2008 and the horrible leadership that has brought us, that was prior to that election and post the election, nothing really done to fix it well. But we got to a point where the indicators are good, so the Fed was going to raise the interest rate a little bit. Not now. The economy, it will have to settle down a little bit now, and it'll probably be next year. So anyway, that's the situation. Anybody got anything to add? Did I leave something out? Richie, you started to say something.
Well, one thing to add on to what you were saying is we can go to as many countries as we want that has slave labor.
Yeah.
And once that slave labor becomes closer to middle class, right, the game over. They're going to want equal, so they won't be able to make
so
the cheap
goods.
So
can we argue that we have made life better for all these people all around the world? America has improved
yes.
the lives. Can
yeah,
we argue
I
that?
Mean, I think so.
You go into China and you look at what they had, and look at Japan. I mean, even though they have a struggling economy, you look at what they came from, and then look at China. Look, they had nothing. Uh-huh. So, but have you ever heard the term backshoring?
No.
Backshoring is when an American company buys a company that has their manufacturing overseas and brings it back to America for manufacturing.
Yeah.
And I've mentioned this guy a few times, Neil Asbury. He does a weekend radio program with us called Made in America. Uh-huh. And he's the owner of a company called the Legacy Companies. And he owns 30 companies that manufacture mostly kitchen type goods, refrigerators, dishwashers for
Ginzu
restaurants.
Ginzu knives.
Not Ginzu knives so much, but you know, in the retail store you might see blenders and all kinds of things.
Okay.
He has bought every company that he buys, he brings back and manufactures those products in America from some other country.
Good gimmick.
And he makes a profit.
Good. That's a good story.
With every company.
Yeah, that's a good story. Excellent story. I'm glad you enlightened us as to that. It's 16 past the hour. Doug Steffen's Good Day program. If you're going to Hawaii, you may want to wait a week or so. I'll tell you why in a moment.
Think green. Harrison with you. French nuclear companies are hoping to build a new generation of reactors. But last month, an underreported accident at a nuclear treatment center saw about 150 pounds of radioactive uranium seep into two major rivers, flowing into the Rhone. We now learn winemakers were watering vineyards and citizens have been washing and drinking the water. Today, people are using specially delivered plastic tanks of purified water, carrying it to bathrooms for washing and kitchens for cooking. Even their dogs drink bottled water, which is then left out for birds and wildlife. Last year, there were 86 level 1 nuclear incidents in France alone. And since the U.S. has twice the number of active nuke plants, just how many incidents do you suppose are happening underreported here?
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
If you're an inventor who would like to attempt to have your idea or invention patented and submitted to industry, call InventHelp. They have free information for you. Call 1-800-405-9878. That's 1-800-405-9878.
Welcome to American Biker Minute. Daytona Beach is ground zero for shark attacks. Let's go swimming today on American Biker Minute.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. Ride hard and surf less. Florida leads the world in unprovoked shark attacks. More than South Africa, more than Australia's Great Barrier Reef. Bike Week visitors seeking a splash might want to take a cue from locals who know bite odds are small. Therefore, they don't sweat the sharks. Fear of jaws will keep certain bikers restricted to knee-deep water, while others, with a desire to be shark bait, will dangle legs from the edge of a boogie board like a pair of ripe bananas. Most sharks let go after a single bite. Apparently, we're not that tasty. American Biker Minute, your passport to the open road on two wheels.
Now, Cheap Psych Tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Every now and then, you may be required to complain about something, but there are people out there who complain about everything, and trust me, you do not want to be like them. Here's the social science of it. A friend of mine, head of consumer affairs for an incredibly expensive sports car manufacturer, noticed that those who bought their car to enhance their identity, they complained more and for no reason.
This is the crappiest piece of crap in crap town.
Those who bought the car for the love of the machine complained rarely to never and always tactfully.
It's fine. It's not great, but it's not the worst.
What's the cheap psychological trick? Identities can't be bought, but over-complainers cheapen what little identity they have. Next time you're required to lodge a complaint, remember, your identity is showing. Quiet and consistent implies a class act. Got a question? Love to hear from you. Send it to me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
18 past the hour, Doug Steffen's Good Day program with Jennifer Horn, Rich McFadden, Kenny Kessler, and the winning couple that has a trip, a honeymoon scheduled to Hawaii, may want to wait a bit, because if you are aware of Waikiki, I love that name. Isn't that a great name, Jennifer?
Yeah, Waikiki.
Waikiki. W-A-I-K-I-K-I. Anyway, yesterday, tourists were treated to 500,000 gallons of fresh sewage spilling into the ocean when a tropical storm flooded their drain system there. They've had some big storms in the Pacific, as you know. And one of the... everything's shallow in Hawaii. It's close. It's like...
the what? People!
No, the people are wonderful in Hawaii. But, you know, there's not... It's a coral reef.
Yeah.
It basically just sprung out of the middle of the ocean. And who knows how long it will last. You know, it'll be around probably for another... a couple of million years, and then maybe gets washed away. But the point is that vacationers are having to stay away from, if you're on that island, and maybe, you know, it, with all that water, it'll quickly dissipate. But still, imagine having 500,000 gallons of sewage spill out onto the beach where you're at the hotel. Oh, come to the Grand Hyatt Hotel and enjoy the smell.
Ew.
Yeah, but it also people could get a serious infection. We are on two radio stations in Hawaii, so I don't want to diminish what could happen. You get very sick by going swimming in these areas. Take a couple of days for it to become uncontaminated. And it's kind of like there's nothing they could do about it, really. It isn't that they have bad infrastructure. It's that who's going to prepare for the kind of deluge in the weather that they've had for the past, two or three days, I think, over there. And then people could say, well, that's pretty inconsistent with what you said about New Orleans. I don't know if that's true or not. New Orleans, they can make things better because they know things are not bad. And they can confront the stuff all the time. Over in Hawaii, they don't have this stuff all the time. 21 after the hour.
There's a sunny little funny little melody.